Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you that we could come together to worship you. Lord Jesus, we do crown you Lord of all. Thank you for the reminder of these Christmas songs that you came as a baby, but you came as Lord, Emmanuel, Savior, Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and our friend, our Redeemer, our propitiation. Thank you for this season. Thank you for this year. Thank you for each person here. Thank you for what you're doing in our nation, in our communities. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. We do pray for those that have lost loved ones, the Paskowitz family last night, the Spillman family and Granby family last week, and all the rest of them that are here today and have lost their loved ones, whether it's this year or last or the last, before that, Father, they're still hurting. We pray that you would comfort them. We pray for those that are sick. Oh, Lord, encourage, heal, strengthen, we pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our communities, the communities from which we come. We pray, Father, for those that might be spiritually sick and some don't even know it. We pray that their eyes would be open to Jesus, their ears attentive to the Holy Spirit of God. And we pray, Father, that your people all over, not just in this church, but your people all over would be salt and light always for you. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing here in our town. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing all over the globe. We do pray again, Heavenly Father, for our missionaries in Costa Rica and Pakistan and Africa and the uttermost parts of the earth. We pray for their encouragement. We pray, Father, that they would see the bounty of the harvest and see the harvest come in. We pray for the persecuted church this morning, Lord. People are suffering and dying just because they're Christians all over the globe. We pray for them. We pray for their encouragement, for their strength. We pray, Father, that you would be with them and they would just feel your very presence. And we pray for those that are persecuting them and taking their lives, that they would see Jesus. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together to worship you. Help us to quiet our minds from the activities of the week and the year, and even the activities of the coming week, and focus our worship on you. I pray it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. It'll probably take a little bit of time to us to find our way here, but we'll figure it out. We haven't even got figured out how to take offering yet. I seem like I'm a long ways away from you, but we'll figure it out, won't we? We'll figure it out together. I was thinking, for a lot of years, when the Free Methodist Church was going in town, I lived at Leader and was in a different church and would drive through town and come to work here at the factory. I didn't even know there was a Free Methodist Church. I didn't know what a Free Methodist was. Some of you are probably in the same boat. Some of you are probably still wondering what is a Free Methodist. But for years I would drive by here, going to the factory and back to the farm. And I would see this church, and it had its ups and downs. When I say this one, I mean this one that we've just come out of last Sunday. I would see it have its ups and downs, and yet there was a little tiny Free Methodist church in town here that I didn't even know existed. I didn't even know was here. Until one day, and most of you know this story, until one day their pastor come down to my office at work and asked me to come and help at the church, and long story short, you know that Sherry and I did. And that's when I learned a little bit about the Free Methodist Church and the Free Methodist history in town. Did you know the Free Methodist Church has been in town since the 1890s? 1890s. I didn't know they were here till 2002. But you know what? You know me well enough to know that I don't put a whole lot of emphasis on a denomination, but I'm thankful for godly people that have been in this town a long time, in the churches all around us. This one that we just left, the little tiny white schoolhouse kind of church that we left 10 years ago, and the rest of the churches in town. I'm thankful for godly people praying for this community. Are you? I'm thankful for godly people praying. I think that God wants to do a work in every community. I think He wants to see people redeemed in every community. And I don't think He puts a whole lot of emphasis on denominations as He does people coming to know Jesus Christ and being surrendered and born again and part of the family and being salt and light. I think God puts a whole lot more emphasis on that. I am thankful for the Free Methodist Heritage. I've learned about it. I am thankful for the revival meetings they had over here at the campgrounds for decades. And Pastor Les tells us of the time the pastors would be out in the woods praying until revival comes. I am thankful that people have been praying for you, for me, for other people around our community. People have been praying that people would come to know Christ, that they'd get involved in church, that they would grow in their faith. I'm thankful for that. I believe we are a result of that. I really do. People praying before us. And I believe, should the Lord tarry, what God does in the future is going to be a result of you and I praying and telling people the good news. And so, I don't know. I just look around us and I'm a blessed guy. I'm blessed to know you. I'm blessed to see how God is working in this community. I'm blessed because we got a brand new church to worship in. And God has blessed us so much, we're going to have a little debt. We ain't even going to have much debt. I'm just a blessed guy, I guess. And I think of what has happened over these last 10 years. We've been on this property 10 years. God gave us this property. And I think of what God has done here. Man, sometimes I shortchange God. You ever guilty of that? Am I the only one? You don't have any real expectations, and yet God shows up and does miracles, transformation, marriages restored, lives healed, two services, and then a bigger congregation, and then a bigger sanctuary. Sometimes I've been guilty of shortchanging God. I think, oh, we got a nice church and we got a nice thing going on here. That's good enough. Well, it ain't good enough to God. He wants people to come to know Him. He wants more and more people to know Him. Our neighbors, our family, our co-workers. And I've been guilty of not having much expectation. But God has an expectation that people would know Him. And He wants His church to be salt and light. God has that expectation. And I've been in the ministry just long enough to know now that God is a mighty big God. And He's doing some mighty big things. And I don't know what He's got in store for 2015 for you as an individual or you as a family or us as a church. But I believe He has allowed us and blessed us to build this church for a reason. And I believe it's to glorify Him. It ain't about Jim, I'll tell you that. It ain't even about the Free Methodist denomination. It's about Jesus. And I believe God wants His church to be so in love with Him and so love our neighbors that our churches are filled with worshiping people. People coming together on Sunday morning to praise and give glory to God. I believe that's the heart of God, and I hope in the new year that's our heart, that we love Him so much that somehow we find ourselves loving our neighbor as ourselves. And praying for them and inviting them to church and inviting them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe, you know, when the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, I believe He meant it. And I believe that should be our heart, that we aren't willing that any should perish either. You say, yeah, but Jim, there's some real scoundrels around me. God knows that. And Jesus died for us as well as somebody that might still be in the scoundrel category. And so I look around me and I think of what God has done here in the 10 years that we've been here, and it's miracle after miracle after miracle. And I just wonder how many times I've shortchanged Him by not having any expectation or not praying the way I should for our community or our nation. And so, friends, when we move into this new year, we've now moved into a new building. I want to challenge us with a little scripture here. You're real familiar with it. Comes from Matthew chapter 2. I want to challenge us this day as we close out a 2014 year, move into a new building, move into a new year. I want to challenge us to go into this year like the wise men were seeking Jesus, with zeal, with enthusiasm, with joy. The Bible calls it exceeding great joy when they saw the star. And I just want to encourage us to move into this new chapter of your lives and mine. To move into this chapter like these wise men, I believe, were longing for to find the King as they follow the star. If you got your Bible, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 2 together. You know this story, but I just want to read over it and be reminded of it again today and challenge us a little bit to be like the wise men. To be like them. You know what? You may encounter an obstacle or two in life. Anybody been there? You know what I'm talking about. I expect the wise men encountered an obstacle or two in the months that they sought and followed the star, but they pressed on. You might even encounter an obstacle or two in your Christian journey, but I want to encourage you to press on. And so, this year, whatever God has for you and I and this church and the next church and America and people, I pray that we press on like the wise men did, really, really pressing on, really to find Him, really to lay hold on Him, and to fall down and worship Him, just like they did. Let's take a look at the story. Chronologically, you know this chapter of Matthew 2 is later than Luke 2. You know Luke 2. We talk about the birth of Jesus. It talks about all kind of fun things. Chronologically, Matthew 2 is later than that. You get that flavor right from the very first words when Matthew writes, "Now after Jesus was born." This is some time later. Okay, here we go. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?'" How did they know that? You ever wonder? What kind of wise men were they? You ever wonder? What kind of... And then it says, "For we have seen his star in the east." That means they were in the east looking back westward towards Jerusalem. And Matthew writes, they said, "We have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him." How do they know? Who were they? The Bible says wise men. I think this much. I certainly don't have all the answers as to who they were, but I think this much. I think they knew some of both. They knew some about the stars and the movement in the heavens. The psalmist talked about that. I think they knew some about that, and I think they knew some about the Jewish people. Matter of fact, they might have even had a little Jewish blood, a little Jewish heritage in them, because look at what they say. "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We have come to worship him." So I don't know who they were. I don't know if they're king or magi or astrologers or wise men or a combination of all of the above, or even with a little Jewish heritage in them. I do know this. God impressed upon them, "Go find the King of the Jews." And he put a star up there. And they got to Jerusalem. They'd been following this star for a good long time. They got to Jerusalem and they inquired. I think for a while the star had left them, in other words, their sight. And in the natural rotation of planets and everything, planets come and go, brightness comes and go. And I think for a little while they'd got to Jerusalem and they maybe didn't see it. And so they simply inquire, "Where is he?"
You know how far Jerusalem and Bethlehem are from each other? Some of you probably know this better than I do. I think it's about 4 miles. They're not very far. They're close, but I don't think at this moment that they're asking about where is he that was born King of the Jews. I don't think they could see the star, and I say that because of what they said later. But anyway, verse 3 says, when Herod the king heard this, and that's referring to where is he who was born King of the Jews, when he heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Why would he be troubled? Because this was competition to the king over the Jews. And so if Herod is troubled, the people of Jerusalem are going to be troubled because he was a ruthless, bloody, murderous kind of a guy. And so the Bible says he was troubled, and so was Jerusalem. Verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. He was no dummy. He knew if somebody was talking about the King of the Jews, he knew he needed to get the Jewish people together, the Jewish religious leaders together, and ask them about this whole idea of some king being born. So that's who he asked. And they said to him in verse 5, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They knew it. They knew the answer. They knew where to turn in the Old Testament scrolls to find the answer to tell King Herod. They knew what was written there. They turned right to it and said to him, Bethlehem. Then, the Bible says, Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star appeared. So he was inquiring of them, how long have you seen this thing? How long have you been following it? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for this young child. In hearing how long they had been following the star, we're not talking about the baby in a manger anymore now. We're months down the road. And once he's heard the answer to their question about what time did the star appear, he says to them, go ahead then, search for this young child. Did you know I have a grandson here that's less than 2 weeks old? Grandma's holding him right now. They weren't looking for a two-week-old baby no more. He was now looking for a young child because they'd been following for months. And Herod said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Well, you know that's a lie. He just wanted to destroy the competition. But it's evident in these verses that a bunch of time, months-wise, I'm not talking years, but a bunch of time had passed since the birth of Jesus because Herod inquired about how long they'd been following the star. And by Herod's words, when he stated, excuse me, search carefully for this young child. Let me just throw out something here for your consideration. I was just given in the last week a presentation called The Bethlehem Star. Thank you for sending that to me. I listened to it. And this researcher, he happens to be a lawyer by trade. He has researched the constellations. He has researched the movement of the stars even around 2,000 years ago. And, of course, he's a Christian man, so he's researched the Bible too. And he's put this all together in a presentation called The Bethlehem Star. It is really fascinating. It'll take you about 70 minutes to listen to it. But it is fascinating about what he has found about the movement of the constellations and how God has put all these things in order, and they've always been in order, and yet he lines up these things just perfectly. So these wise men saw this star, and quite frankly, I don't think anybody knows when the star showed up, but I think it was one of two times. I think it's quite possible in this same presenter, I forgot his name now, but that puts on the Bethlehem Star presentation would also agree to this, that we think that the star could have appeared even at his conception. And he'll give you a great rationale and argument for why he thinks that. And I don't. And if it wasn't at the immaculate conception of Jesus Christ, then certainly it probably appeared by his birth time. Whatever the case, I'm no scholar and not one to argue either point. I just think this star, as God has ordained the constellations and the planets and is in control of everything else, this star, whether it's a star or two or three planets that lined up and were just bright, whatever it was, these people had been following it for a good long time. And it was ordained by God. So, when these wise men had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. There are songs made out of that verse, that quotation even. There are entire songs. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, the Bible says, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that's where we draw our three kings from. We don't know that there were three kings. There might have been two, there might have been six. But there was three gifts, and so we sing about three kings. There was people here that had traveled a long time, a long way, and they rejoiced in Jesus. They rejoiced when they saw the star. I just believe it was all orchestrated and ordained by God. And when they got there, it says they fell down and they worshipped him. And then they opened up their treasures and they presented to him these gifts. And so when I read through this story, sometimes, and maybe you're this way too, I read through this story again, I wonder, and I probably come up with more questions than answers. I wonder how long they traveled. I wondered if they encountered difficulties. I wonder who they were. Do you wonder about those things? I wonder if they were like men on a mission. They knew they were going to complete it no matter what. But as I wonder about those things and about those men that at that time, I wonder also how long, brothers and sisters, friends, how far would we be willing to seek the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? If the going gets a little tough, would we just bail out? How long and how far would we be willing to press on, even if the competition held us back from knowing and worshiping the Lord? I suppose there was obstacles in their path, in their journey. I suppose they encountered difficulties, whether it's windstorm or no water or no food for the camels or who knows what. I suppose they encountered obstacles, and so will we. The enemy of our souls will see to it that we encounter obstacles. But I want to encourage you to press on, friends, just like the wise men of old did, to press on to lay hold of the King, to press on to know Him, to press on to fall down and worship Him, to press on and surrender to Him completely. You say, Jim, I don't see where they read. I don't read where they did that. I'm just saying they had the mind, they had the notion, they had the zeal to keep going and find the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when they found Him, the Bible says they fell down and they worshiped Him. And I just want to encourage you, friends, even though there are obstacles in life, press on. Lay hold of the King. Lay hold of the Master. Trust Him even when there's difficulties. Trust Him even when there's trials. You might encounter one, you know. Some of you are going through trials right now. Some in our midst are going through terrible trials right now. We will encounter obstacles and we will encounter trials. And I just want to encourage you, friends, press on. Lay hold of the Master. Press on, take hold of this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Press on in spite of what the enemy throws at us. And then I wonder about this other group of people. Do you wonder about the chief priests and the scribes? I wonder if they knew the Old Testament scripture said he was going to be born in Bethlehem, and they knew these different looking people, different dressing people, magi, wise men, astrologers, whatever, have come all the way to Jerusalem to inquire about the King of Kings being born, the King of the Jews being born. Wouldn't you think that these chief priests and scribes wouldn't want to run to Bethlehem to see him? Wouldn't you think? I would have thought they would have. But then when I think it through a little bit, I ask myself the same question of today. Why don't we run to him today? Certainly in America, we've got the privilege of Christian radio and Christian TV, and we've got Bibles in every home. We've got lots of Bibles in every home. We've got Bibles at the Walmart and the gift store and everything else. Why aren't people running to embrace the Master today? And so while I wonder about the chief priests and the scribes that day, why didn't they run to Bethlehem and see if it's real? The same question can be asked today. Why aren't we running and longing to lay hold and worship the King of the Jews, the King of Kings? I wonder if there was times this last year when God was calling you to step out of your comfort zone and follow him, or step out of your comfort zone and maybe he's calling you to something more, maybe even in the ministry. I wonder if there's something that happened this last year that God was calling you and you hesitated and, man, I just didn't want to go either. Kind of like the scribes and the chief priests of that day. My challenge for us as we close out this 2014 year and go into 2015, that we would be together more like the wise men, passionately seeking him, passionately following him, pressing on to encounter him and to worship him. And I'm not just talking about Sunday mornings for an hour, friends. I'm talking about a life that's surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, where we worship him daily, where we surrender to him, where we take up our cross daily to follow him. And I'm just praying that 2015 is a year when we are more like the wise men, passionately pursuing the Christ. May I close with these suggestions? May I just suggest that if you're sensing the call of God on your life to surrender to him as Lord, maybe you've never done that, to surrender to him as Lord before it's too late. May I just suggest, if you're sensing the call of God to follow him in a new passion, in a new zeal, that we travel over moor and mountain and we fall down and worship him, no matter where he has called us to. May I suggest to you and myself too, that we continue to follow him no matter how high the hill or how low the valley. May we continue to follow him knowing he is the King of Kings and we can lay hold of eternal life through Jesus Christ. I get a lot of cards and I appreciate Christmas cards. I read every one of them. I appreciate your cards and letters and gifts to Sherry and I. And a lot of cards say this: wise men still seek him. You've got a few, I bet. It almost seems like the phrase is wore out. Cliche. Even lame. But the fact of the matter is, friends, wise people are still seeking him. And wise people are pressing on to lay hold of the Christ child, to lay hold of the Master. Not just know about Him in our ears. The chief priests and the scribes knew about Him in their ears. And they didn't run to worship Him. And so, may I suggest to us that wise people are still seeking Him. And it would behoove us to seek Him with a new zeal and a new passion and a new fervor and a new heart this year. It would behoove us as brothers and sisters in Christ to seek Him over hill and through valley as a life. And lay hold of Him. And may I say lastly, when you have found Him, you will be like the wise men. You will rejoice with exceeding great joy because we have found the Master. And when you have surrendered to Him, to follow Him, to faithfully walk with Him all the days of your life, you'll be just like the wise men, rejoicing with exceedingly great joy, because no matter what obstacles life throws at you, you've still got the Master. You've still got Jesus. Amen? Praise team, let's close in this song. They're going to lead us in this question. How many kings did leave the splendor of their surroundings? How many kings did leave their thrones to come and die for you and I? There's only one, friends. And if you're here today and you're not sure you've been born again, you're not sure you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, pray with Richard or myself today. Trust Jesus Christ as Lord. And for the rest of us, if you have, praise God for that. Let us follow Him with zeal. Let us seek for Him with everything that we are, with a passion like the wise men, to follow Him into this new year wherever He leads us.